From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol meets with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida for a summit meeting. Victims of Japan's wartime forced labor who won damages against Mitsubishi Heavy Industries file a suit to collect the Japanese company's assets in South Korea. And North Korea launches a long-range ballistic missile, presumed to be an intercontinental ballistic missile, toward the East Sea. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Tom McCarthy. President Yoon Suk-yeol said he and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida agreed to completely normalize their mutual military intelligence sharing pact, which has been in limbo for 3 years. President Yoon made the remarks on Thursday in a joint press conference right after summit talks with Kishida in Tokyo. The president said that Japan, which shares the universal values of freedom, human rights, and the rule of law with South Korea, is a partner in cooperation on security and global economic agendas. As such, the two sides have agreed to put back on track their General Security of Military Information Agreement, better known as JISOMIA. President Yoon said that Kishida and he agreed to normalize Korea-Japan relations swiftly and accelerate discussions on enhancing cooperation in various areas of security, trade, personnel, and cultural exchanges. The president said that the two sides agree to promptly restore consultative bodies that discuss common interests between the two countries, including strategic dialogue between diplomatic and economic authorities. In particular, Yoon said that the two nations will launch an economic security dialogue at the National Security Council level. Yoon noted that Seoul's solution to Japan's wartime forced labor issue laid the foundation for full-scale discussions on future-oriented development of bilateral relations. Regarding evolving threats from North Korea, the two leaders reportedly agreed on the importance of bilateral cooperation between Seoul and Tokyo and trilateral cooperation among South Korea, the U.S., and Japan. Japan has lifted its export curbs on key chip materials to South Korea. South Korea's Trade Ministry announced the agreement between the two governments as a result of the 3-day bilateral policy meeting on managing exports that ended on Thursday. In response, South Korea has decided to withdraw the WTO complaint that it had filed against Japan's export curbs that started from July 2019. With that, imports of 3 key items for the manufacture of displays and semiconductors, photoresist, fluorinated polyimide, and hydrogen fluoride will resume. The two sides also agreed to closely discuss the measures to reinstate each other to the trade whitelist of preferential trading partners. The main economic organizations of South Korea and Japan have revealed plans to each establish a fund to promote future partnerships between the two countries. The Federation of Korean Industries and the Japan Business Federation, also known as Keidanren, unveiled the plan in a joint news conference held in Tokyo on Thursday to announce a declaration on future partnerships. The two organizations expressed anticipation over expanding bilateral exchanges in politics, the economy, and culture in the wake of Seoul's announcement of a solution to the issue of compensation for Japan's wartime forced labor and Tokyo's assessment that it is aimed at making bilateral ties sound again. The FKI and Keidanren said the envisioned funds will research the future relations that Seoul and Tokyo should pursue in the new international order, conduct projects on addressing joint challenges, and seek ways to further boost bilateral economic relations. Victims of Japan's wartime forced labor who won damages against Mitsubishi Heavy Industries have filed a suit to collect the company's assets in South Korea in line with their rejection of Seoul's plan to provide compensation through domestic corporate donations. According to their legal counsel on Thursday, one surviving victim and a bereaved family member launched the legal proceeding the previous day, seeking the collection of assets from Mitsubishi's sub-subsidiary, MH Power Systems Korea. The legal representative said that the monetary claim sought by the plaintiffs enables them to collect the receivables upon a favorable ruling without requiring the company to liquidate other forms of assets, such as stocks or patent rights, through auction. They pledged to help their clients swiftly receive the court-ordered compensation from Mitsubishi through the method of their choice to make good on the 2018 South Korean Supreme Court ruling ordering the firm to pay compensation. The Joint Chiefs of Staff said that North Korea fired a long-range ballistic missile, presumed to be an intercontinental ballistic missile, toward the East Sea on Thursday. The JCS said that it detected the missile launched from the Sunan area in Pyongyang at around 7:10 a.m. toward the East Sea, adding that it was fired at a lofted angle and flew about 1,000 kilometers. The South Korean military assessed the missile is similar to the North's newest ICBM, the Hwasong-17. Further analysis is underway. North Korea previously fired what it claimed was a Hwasong-15 ICBM on February 18th at a lofted angle. South Korea denounced the North's latest missile launch. The National Security Council held a meeting on Thursday and strongly condemned the North's launch of a long-range ballistic missile earlier in the day as a violation of UN Security Council resolutions, as well as serious provocations that raise tensions on the Korean Peninsula and threaten regional peace and security. President Yoon Sung-yeol, who attended the meeting, warned that the North will pay for its reckless provocation. The United States also condemned the launch of what it called an intercontinental ballistic missile launched by the North, calling for the international community's fulfillment of sanctions against the regime. The South Korean Army and Air Force conducted a series of large-scale field training exercises in connection with the ongoing South Korea-U.S. combined Freedom Shield exercise. The Army said on Thursday that the FTX involved airborne operations to transport equipment and material deep into enemy territory or combat zones, as well as air assault drills in which ground troops transported by helicopters assault enemy forces. The drills, which kicked off on Tuesday, saw the participation of some 1,500 troops from the Army's 2nd Quick Response Division and the Air Force's 5th Air Mobility Wing, with around 30 aircraft, including Lockheed C-130 Hercules transport aircraft. Meanwhile, the Air Force carried out drills involving key units Tuesday and Wednesday, aimed at strengthening operational sustainability during wartime, focusing on immediately scrambling a jet on standby as soon as another returns to base after a sortie. Cho Min, the daughter of former Justice Minister Cho Guk, appeared in court on Thursday for a hearing on her suit against Pusan National University for revoking her medical school admission. Appearing at the Busan District Court as a witness, the younger Cho told reporters that she will sincerely answer questions as some 30 supporters gathered in front of the court to show their support for her with signs declaring that she was accepted to the school based on her skills. Thursday will mark the first time for Cho to reveal her stance on the decision made by PUS last April to cancel her admission to the university's medical school in 2015 over the inclusion of forged documents in the application. The decision came after Cho's mother, Chung Kyung-shim, was sentenced to 4 years in prison over academic fraud related to her daughter's university admission. A grandson of the late President Chun Doo-hwan, who ordered a bloody crackdown of the 1980 Gwangju pro-democracy uprising, claimed that he and his family benefited from dirty money. Chun Doo-hwan, who has recently taken to social media to expose his family's alleged corruption and other criminal activity, told Yonhap News Agency on Wednesday that he has no doubt that his education and current residence in the U.S. have been financed by dirty money. The grandson specifically claimed that 20% of a company named BL Asset, unlisted stocks of a company called Ware Valley, and a high-end property in Seoul's Itaewon neighborhood are listed under his name with a total value in the billions of won. While the mentioned assets were long suspected as the Chun family's source of secret funds, it is the first time that a member of the family has seemingly acknowledged such suspicion in detail. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Tom McCarthy.